So guys, we're going to talk today about, and we have done over this last few weeks, about recognizing that we're in a relationship with Jesus, and I want to fall in love with Jesus. I don't want it to be just transactional. I don't want it to be like I go to the cash machine and I get what I need out of Jesus. I don't want my prayer life to become like that. I don't want my church life to become like that. I want to know Jesus because the Word of God says I can have a relationship with Him. Amen? Come on, church. If you know God, then let's know Him. Let's not just know about Him. Let's not just read about Him, but let's know Him. And so today the question is this. Is Jesus still at the center of your life? Because we've been going for 11 years, and it's incredible to see what the Lord has done. We've seen people saved. We've seen good times and bad times, because that's what life throws at us. But we've seen the faithfulness of God. We've seen people healed and transformed. We've seen incredible things. People baptized, went on mission trips, been able to see and do incredible things. But the real question that we need to ask ourselves after all of this time is Jesus still the center? Because if He's not the center, then something has shifted and something has moved. And I want to challenge us today. We come to rejoice. Come on, I'm going to encourage us. But I do want to ask an important question. Where is Jesus in your life? Is He still the central figure, or has He moved a little bit? Because the problem is, if He's moved, then something else might have got in there instead. And today as we rejoice, I want to encourage you. If something else is there, let's move it. If something else is there, let's change it. If you weren't aware of it before and now you've become aware of it, let's allow ourselves to come to God boldly and let Him bring some transformation that can bring incredible healing. Well, when I think all the way back, I want to share a couple of quick thoughts about Vibe. I think all the way back, we didn't just start 11 years ago. We started in 2006. That's 20 years ago. And when it comes to September this year, we will be 20 years from the beginning when we started as a youth group. And I have to be truthfully honest, church, I never, ever wanted to plant a church. Maybe you're the same. Just never wanted to plant a church. It was not something I wanted to do. Even when other people said it, I thought to myself, why would I want to plant a church? I love the church I'm in already. It's fine. It's good. And in my mind, here's what I thought. I saw it as a negative. I saw it as division. And then the Lord began to speak to me, probably over about a year, because, you know, sometimes it takes hard to get through to some people, i.e. me. And He started to say, but Darryl, what happened if everybody got saved? What happened if your prayers got answered? What happened if revival showed up in this town in Armagh? There wouldn't be enough churches. And He began to slowly but surely transform me. And I began to see it rather as division, as multiplication. I started to say, well, Lord, we actually do. We need more leaders. We need more Christians. We need more disciplers. We need more churches because it rains too much. We need buildings. We need places. We need opportunities for people to come. Because if we're serious about seeing people's lives transformed and changed, and we say it all the time, church, we want to see the 15,000-16,000 people that we have in this city come to faith. If that is the case, then we need more room, and we're on it. Amen? We are on it. And I want you to pray for us. If you don't know, we're in the middle of a building project, and by faith, we are going to step in September, October, and you might never see us again, but we're going to do it anyway. Amen? Come on, we're going to rip the roof off. We're going to knock the walls down. We're blessed that we've got another church that we can go to for a period of time. It can't be forever, but for a little bit. And somehow we're going to do it. We're going after it because God has put a burden on our hearts. We want to see lives transformed. We want to see people never the same again. But here's a big question that we asked ourselves. Lord, we don't just want to be like everybody else. We have to be ourselves. You know the way sometimes you say, I have to be me? Like, I have to be me. You have to be yourself. And we said to ourselves, Lord, we want to be a church that would be missed. If we disappeared, if we had to stop, if we had to finish this whole thing, my question is this, after 11 years, would we be missed? And here's the good news, church. We definitely would be. The Southern Trust would miss us. The counselors would miss us. The council would miss us. The social workers would miss us. So many people would miss us because we get to help and we get to make a difference in people's lives. And guess what? We get to add value to this area and to this town. And that is the dream. And that has always been the dream. Could you imagine if Jesus came to earth and just said, hey, it's all about me? And everywhere I go, I just want to have palm trees. I want to have grapes. And I want, I don't know, the finest wine. Like just wherever I go. But instead, what did He say? I've come to wash your feet. I've come to make a difference for you. And ultimately, I'm going to die for you. This is the way of the kingdom, church. And guys, I've got a nice little surprise for you. It's not going to change as we go forward. The next 11 years are only going to get faster and better. Amen? Because God's going to gather more people to fulfill the mission of bringing heaven to earth. And if you want to, you can be one of those people. And if you're part of this church, then you've got no choice. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we're going to help you to become a great servant. We're going to help you because I'm just convinced that serving God transforms your life. And not only does it transform your life, it transforms the community. And it invites more people to come. And it just changes the world as people serve God. Come on, if you want to be the greatest, become the least. If you want to be the greatest, become a servant. So we're going to be servants of the Most High. But today we celebrate and we thank God for 11 years. But we have to go back to this question. Is he still the center? You see, here's the truth, church. A body of believers, this church can be busy, but we can still drift, unfortunately. As a Christian, you can really be passionate for the things of God, serving hard, but still find yourself drifting or becoming a little bit cold in your walk with God. You can have a powerful ministry, and before you know it, it begins to veer off too much to the left or to the right. So we have to assess. We have to remind ourselves. We have to ask the question, is he still the center of my life? Is he still the center of my world? Or has other things got there? And to help us with this journey, we're going to go to the children of Israel. You're going to the poor old children of Israel. They get a hard time. But let me say this. The reason the Lord leaves the children of Israel in the Bible, and they dominate a lot of the Old Testament, is because he said, if they could do it, you could do it. So whatever they did wrong, please learn, church. Please learn. This is the heart of God. It's not to pick on them. It's not to make them feel bad. Come on, they're dead and gone. But it's to remind us that, but for his grace, there go I. But for the goodness of God, I could fall into the same trap. So we're going to go to it. Exodus chapter 32. You can turn it up in your Bibles if you've got them. I'm going to encourage you, we will not have time to read all of it. So Exodus 32, I want you to read it this week because it's going to bless your heart. But before we get there, Exodus 32, 1, I want to set it up. You've got the children of Israel, and I want to lay the scene of all that God's done for them. And I would suggest God's done incredible things in your life, maybe some seen and maybe unseen. But he's taken them through the plagues. Remember, they were captives for 400 years in a foreign land. They were worked to the bone, and God rescued them right out of that captivity. And so plagues, they got through that. The Passover, they got through that. The Red Sea, they got through that. The manna from heaven, they got that every day. The water from a rock, they got that. Cloud by day, fire fire by night, of course. They got all of those things. And yet after 40 years, or after that period of time, 400 years, and then that rescue mission, then something happens next. And what happens next is Moses goes up the mountain. He goes, I don't know, maybe it's the morns. He goes up the hill. And he goes to meet with God. And here's what it says, Exodus 32:1. It's crazy. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. Remember, for you today, it's like, Amazon still hasn't come. Oh my gosh. They promised me next day delivery. It's the second day. This is not fair. You know, deliveries are delayed. Maybe assessments are delayed. Appointments are delayed. Maybe the love of your life is delayed. I don't know. You know, sometimes when guys get unleashed, you don't know where they are. Like, it's just, we're busy. We're watching football, but we're busy. And then it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Aaron's one of the priests. He's the main dude after Moses. It says, come make us gods who will go before us. Now, hold on a minute. They serve the one true God. Hold on a minute. They've come through the plagues, the Red Sea. They've come through the captivity. They've come through the 400 years of slavery. They've come through everything. And because there's a delay, look what they say. Come, make us gods who will go before us. If you don't know this, maybe you're not a Christian, or maybe you're only a Christian for a short time. God doesn't do other gods. He just doesn't do them. Like, when you have found him, when you find the God of the Bible, you don't need any other gods. Like, you don't need. In fact, he's all sufficient. Amen. You don't need anybody else. And so now you've got the men and women of God who have been through, I get it, a lot of troubles, but they've come out the other side miraculously time after time after time. But suddenly because of a weight, they're like, could you make us a few gods, Aaron? Could you sort aside? It's not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. Come on. If you're a Christian, you're allowed to get offended. Come on. If you know the Lord, you're allowed to give. This makes no sense whatsoever. After 40 days, I guess the problem is they were waiting, but they didn't know how long to wait. And this is always the issue with the wait, isn't it? Like, if I just knew. You ever get people that just want to know everything? Do you ever realize that God doesn't want us to know everything? He likes that tension, not to tease us, but to teach us. Come on, there are some things that we can't know because it's not good for us. God knows all things we're not supposed to. We follow by faith. Remember, if you're to become a Christian, you become a follower. That means you just follow. You don't need to be a leader. You don't need to know all that's happening. You just like, where's Jesus? I follow him. I follow the word of God. I follow his voice. I follow his life. I walk in the spirit. is a challenge for all of us, because the way that we're conditioned day after day is like, if you're not a leader, you're nobody. If you're not a leader, you're a loser. If you're not leading your life, who is? Well, actually, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father. Like, I got three in one. I got a Trinity. They are leading me. I follow them because they know my life better than I know me. See, everybody loves to DIY. Everybody loves to build. But sometimes you just have to trust the process. You got to trust that God is doing something. And what challenges me so much here is that they got fed up waiting. After all that God had done, they got fed up waiting. But it's not even just fed up waiting. They went to the worst thing you could ever imagine. They decide, let's replace God. Let's get a better God. Let's get a God that we can control. I tell you what, let's make it ourselves. You ever been to Build-A-Bear? Far too expensive. Don't go, please. But, you know, if you've not heard of this place, it's a shop. You can go there. You can pay a fortune to build your own bear. Just buy your own bear. You know, it'll be a lot cheaper, and just say, good job. But you can build your own bear. But this is what literally the people are trying to do at this moment. They're going, we should just build our own God. You ever get fed up with God not answering on time? Come on, let's be real, church. Pretend it's only me and you. You ever get fed up that God just won't answer your prayers? That it feels like you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and there's still a delay? You ever go, God, I'm just so fed up. Like, why? In fact, God, why don't you do it the way I think it should be done? Like, God, I know some things. Like, I've read your word. I know you. So I know the way you should act. And God, you should do it like this. And God, I'm just so glad that he created joy, because he must have a great sense of humor. And he goes, you're all right. Or as we would say, you're dead on. You're going to be dead on. Like, I got to work this thing out, church. And God is doing something, and there's a purpose in the delay, and there's a purpose in the wait, and yet sometimes they're the hardest times for us as believers. And then suddenly, and this is what's crazy, suddenly in the blink of an eye, they've got a golden calf. They've built an idol. They've built a golden calf. And I say to myself, how do you go from men and women of God where you're living and you've been called out and it's miracle after miracle after miracle until suddenly you've just built an idol? You've just built an idol, a golden calf. And you're going, I would never do that. You're going, no, I'd never do that. Well, today we might discover that it could be way easier than you think. So let's go point number one. The wit exposes the heart. It says, when the people saw Moses' delay, this was crazy. I want to read a few things out to us, because the wit does expose the heart. The calf wasn't built when Pharaoh was chasing them. Think about this now. You know, when Pharaoh's chasing you, if you don't know the story, they leave captivity, they get set free, Pharaoh eventually lets them go, and then he decides, no, I don't want them to go, come back. It's like, you know, it's like that messy breakup, and then I want you back, you know, I just want you back. But this is not a good one, because he sends the army to get them, and he says, if I can't have them, nobody can have them, wipe them all out. And so he goes after the people. Pharaoh's chasing them. But notice this, in a time of urgency and emergency, they didn't build the golden calf then. Didn't build it then. Think about this now just for a moment. It wasn't built when the sea was crashing in on the enemies. Wasn't built then either. All's good. They're flying. They're moving. Everyone's good. It wasn't built when they were hungry in the desert. You know, when they're hungry in the desert and the Lord's giving them fresh manna every day and there's quail coming, it's awesome. It's just like free meals all day long. Don't even have to pay for it. Better than the low fresh. Don't even have to cook it. Just eat it. You know, this is how good the Lord was. That the calf wasn't built then. Calf wasn't built then. Think about when it was built. It was built in the wait, in the silence, when we're not sure what's going on, when we're trying to trust God, but we're not sure, when the enemy's not around, but where's God? It was built then. It was built in the quiet moments. It was built in the moments where you're supposed to be worshiping the Lord, listening to the still small voice. You know, people love that verse. You got to get that still small voice. But have you noticed how hard it is to be silent before God? Have you noticed how easy it is to be busy for God? Like, just be busy. Just, I'm busy for God. I'm going on missions, you know. And I love missions, by the way. You should definitely do missions. But it's the silence where things get done. And let me say it like this. It's the silence where business gets done, but it's the silence where danger happens. Where danger happens. Things start to go around our hearts. Things start to go around our minds. Little ideas come in that maybe shouldn't be there. Solomon once said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the demon at your door knocking, going, hey, are you in there? No, it's the little foxes. It's the little thoughts, just the little things, the little unforgiveness, the little like, oh, I don't like him. I don't like her. Oh, she looked at me funny. Oh, yeah, you're right. Me too. And then we add it up. We got to keep our distance. The little foxes. It's the little foxes. It was the wait. Think about this, church. It was not when the enemy was at them. It was in the delay of God. It was in the weight of God. You're going, God, that's not fair. You would have knew what would happen. No, God's trying to expose their heart. And so maybe many times why it's so hard for us to come into God's presence is because we don't like the weight either. In our culture, we've been so conditioned for speed and rush and instant, and it's got to come now, and it's got to be in my terms, and I'm going to get mad, and you don't want to see me mad, you know, like all these different things. And yet there's something exposing about the silence, because it's just you and God. It's just you and him. And the crazy part of this story, church, is that the calf gets built in those moments. Wow. Wow. The trouble happens in those moments. The trouble happens in those moments. What did we read last week? Guard your heart above all else, because out of it flow the issues of life. It's not the enemy outside. It's not the problems out there. It's the heart right in you. And if I don't guard what goes in, and if I don't guard and protect it, I will find that my own heart will do all the damage. And so today we're going to go after it, and we're going to set some people free if that's what you need. You see, this is crazy. We don't lose the center in the crisis. It's in the weight. It's not the crisis that kills us. It's the weight. It's the delay. It's the uncertainty. It's like, Lord, where are you? You're not speaking. What's going on? That's what really gets us. When breakthrough is too slow, when answers to prayer seem to take too long, when prayer's not working, like, I'm praying, but nothing's happening. Like, God, where are you? I'm praying all these things. When God is doing something in the mountain that we can't see from where we're standing. I think this is the biggest dilemma of the people. It's like, well, we know Moses is there. We know God's in Mount Sinai, but we can't see it. So it leads to all sorts of thoughts. Guys, just because you can't see what God's up to doesn't mean that he's not doing something good. Amen. Just because you can't see the end yet doesn't mean that God's not working on your behalf. He's doing far more than you can imagine or think. And what you need to do is get comfortable in the silence in his presence and focus on him. Because if you go into the silence and start to focus on the problem, you will become the God to fix it. And you will figure out a way to fix it. And unfortunately, we have a tendency to go to any means necessary. Come on, it's why good people do crazy things. It's the issues of the heart that begin to build and build and build. And before you know it, you've done the thing that you said you would never do. Come on, we are not good in those silence. We have to focus on the Savior in those moments. We have to focus on God. You got to bring the Word of God into those moments, into the weight, into that weight where the delay is, and say, God, help me, because otherwise I will not make it. Number two, what God gave them became what replaced them. What God gave them became what replaced them. Can we read it in verse 2? It says, Aaron, I don't know what's going on with Aaron, but we just got to pray for him. Because, not this Aaron, he's all good, amen. But the Aaron from the story, because he's supposed to be the priest. And the people come to him, and just for the sake of time, what happens is, the people come to him and goes, we just need a God that we can see. Okay, sure, let's build one. Like, what? Like, Aaron's supposed to be the priest. Like, he's the pastor. He's like the guy who goes, no, that's wrong, guys. We're not going to do it. Let's pray. He just goes, sure, let's go. Bring me the gold. What? Bring me the gold? Like, church, do you remember where the gold came from? The gold came from Egypt. The gold was their earrings, their necklaces, their watches, their rings. The gold was what they took from the enemy camp to become their inheritance for the future. The gold is what they took so they could use it to be able to establish the new life. The gold was the gift that God gave them. Out of that horrible place called Egypt, the gold was the gift. And guess what? The gift became a curse. The gift became an idol. The blessing became a burden. Come on, church, stay with me just for a minute here. Come on, come on. The things that God has given you, if you're not careful, will be the very things you turn into an idol. What? Church, how can this be so? It says this, Aaron turns around and he said to them, break off the gold earrings. Nothing against gold earrings, but he said, break off the gold and bring it to me. And then this is what's crazy, church. And this is the part, like the whole thing's crazy to me, but it just gets more mad as you go along. To get that gold into a golden calf, you got to smelt it. You got to bring it together. You got to get the furnaces going. You got to get the heat going. You got to get all these. Is there no one along this line that goes, I don't think this is a good idea. You know, when you're robbing a bank, somebody needs to tell you this is not a good idea. We're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. Like some, they're going to get you. They've got the money tracked. They're going to get you within 2 years. You're going to be in prison. Come on. Somewhere along the line, you're hoping. This is why you got to make sure you're hanging around the right people. Because if you're not hanging around the right people, they're going to go, keep going. You're doing great. This is what's going on here, church. I can't believe it. Because you've got thousands and thousands of people there. And maybe there was some people. Let's give some credit. There might have been some people who are speaking up saying, this is madness. But the leaders had decided within the groups, we're going to do this thing. We need a God that we can control. We need a God that we can design. We know God better than him. He's just not answering fast enough. So we got to do it our way. Come on. Guys, pride can creep up before you know it. Your own self-importance can creep up before you know it. Your own ego can creep up and become a monster before you know it. And suddenly it's my world and everybody else is in it. And if you don't do what I say, I go mad. So we got to keep them happy. And so they take the gold. This is crazy. The calf wasn't smuggled in. This is crazy. The calf wasn't smuggled in. It was built by the gold that they carried in. It was built by the gold that God had given them as a blessing. And so I wrote down some things because everything in your life, think about this now, church, everything in your life is trying to get first place. It's the way the culture's designed. It's the way society's designed. It's the way everything's designed. Social media just wants you. They're making a fortune out of you, just so you know. All those videos you watch, they are making money out of you. You know, life wants you. Your work wants you. Your kids want you. You know, the thing that drives Nikki mad, I can speak for her because she tells me. Oh, here she is. She goes, they just always want me. They just always want me. Mommy, watch this. Mommy, watch this. Mommy, watch this. Come on, we love our kids. They're such a blessing. But you know what I'm saying. Come on. Church, it's real. So let me say this. Everything wants first place. Your marriage is a gift, but it can become a god. You got to think about this now. They didn't just build a golden calf. They built a god, small g. Come on, this is an idol, church. And we know what we do with idols. You should have no idols. They're just bad news. Like if you told me today, hey, we went out yesterday and bought an idol, I would not be excited for you. You know what I'm saying? Like if I came round to your house for dinner and you're like, hey, we got Domino's and we got a really cool idol in the corner. Do you want to see it? I'm like, I'm not coming. Like, you know, that's not good news, is it? It's just not good news. But idols can hide out in all sorts of places. Your marriage is a gift, but it can become an idol. Let's just go there. Your children are a gift, but they can become an idol. Your career is a gift, but it can become an idol. It can become God. Your ministry is a gift, but it can become God. Your reputation is a gift, but it can become God. Your money is a gift, but it can become God. Come on, we could just keep going and going and going. And we're not saying it just for a soundbite. We're not saying it just for fun. I'm saying it, church, because I feel convicted that if we're not careful, the good things is what's going to corrupt us. It's not the bad things. We said it already. It's not the devil coming at you that's going to take you right. It's the little things that came as blessings that are going to take you right. It's the earrings. It's the watches. It's the rings that you're going to someday take and melt down and suddenly create a gold calf. What? You're going, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because God leaves these examples in there because he knows how he made us and he knows we're all vulnerable to stuff like this. And if we don't keep Jesus at the center, this is what happens. It's not an if, it's inevitable. Do you know what I'm saying, church? If we don't keep him at the center, this always happens. Gods always take his place. Other gods, small g. Idols always getting in the way. And right here, you may be going, I don't think it. I don't believe it. But watch how maybe as we go a little bit further, God's going to, out of his goodness, reveal some more things. And at the end of this, maybe you're going to repent of some things and let go of some things. Number three, it looks like worship, but without holiness, it's corrupt. Now, I think this next part, verse 5, is going to haunt you the most. Or at least it will as you read the verses over again, back again. Again, for time, we'll just shorten it down. Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. Wow. What? So here's what's happening, church. We're fed up waiting for God. We've decided to get our own gold. We've made our own mold. We've made our own golden calf. This is awesome. We've just done the best thing ever. And now what we're going to do is we're going to have church tomorrow. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring the golden calf with us. We're going to bring those kids to church. We're going to bring that work to church. We're going to bring that money to church. We're going to bring that lifestyle to church. We're going to bring our career to church. We're going to bring our reputation to church. And guess what? He, she, it is going to sit right beside me. And I'm going to pat it along the way because it's my idol and I take it everywhere. Church, this is what happens. They go to worship God and they've got no conviction left. The idol's right there. It's like, I don't even know what they called the calf. We should try and name it later. But, you know, I don't know what they called the calf. But, like, they just brought him. Or I'm calling him. Who knows what it is. But they just brought this calf with them. And it was no big deal. What? What? Like, how do we get there? How do we get there? Can I say it like this, church? A little bit by a little bit by a little bit by a little bit by a little compromise and a little just letting it go and a little compromise and a little bit more giving it this more attention, a little bit more time, a little bit more attention. And before you know it, it's a golden calf. And we revolve around it and it becomes the center of our world. And everywhere we go, we bring it. And it's the first thing we talk about. How cool is my calf? Do you like it? It's so cool. It's the best gold you ever seen. You're right. You know, it's just that. Church, if Jesus is not the center of your life, something else is going to take it. something else is going to take the center grind. If Jesus is not the center of your life, something else is going to take the center. Something else. I'm just trying to say it plain and clear, church. It's not a, it's a certainty. It's a certainty. And they come to worship and the calf comes with them. It's crazy. They didn't stop having church. They had church around the calf. In the madness of it all, they worship God. And you know what the problem is? If you can do that, church, it justifies everything. It's just, sure, like, it's no big deal then. Sure, it's all right. We didn't get convicted. You know, people say, no, I feel all good about this because I have no conviction in it. You know, the conviction's left you because you've just dabbled in that sin for so long, you're not convicted anymore. Come on, church, we've got to get real. There's no place on this earth that it should ever be okay to have a golden calf in church. Never, ever. There's never any place on this planet, past, present, or future, that it should ever be okay to have your idol with you in church. And yet we can all do it all of the time. And maybe right now God's beginning to pinpoint some stuff that you could not see. And maybe other people could have seen it, but God has to reveal it. God has to reveal it. And today, let it be so. Fourth point, if Jesus is not the center, it always leads to chaos. And here's where it just gets more mad. Verse 6, again, right at the end of it, it says that they worship. They prayed, they sung songs, they danced, they did all the fun stuff, they did all the stuff you should do in church, they were rejoicing, hands were raised, everything was good, and then it's said, they rose up to play. They rose up to play. You go, well, there's nothing wrong with that. No, there is once you start to understand the word. Once you start to understand the word. I'll give you a quick story. Years ago, I went to university, and again, I tell this story not to highlight me, but to highlight the point. And here's what happened. I come from a country church in Listerville, which we would have said was the middle of nowhere. Most people will say Armagh's the middle of nowhere, but it was even worse. And not the church, but just the location. And so we grew up there, 50, 60 people. We loved it. God was moving, all sorts of great things. And then one day came where we said, hey, let's go to university. We're going to go and learn some stuff. And so we went to university, a whole bunch of us. And we got there, and we find out there was loads of Christians at university. We were like, this is awesome, because we've only ever seen about two, you know, up until this point, like our own ages, you know. And so we get to university, and it was amazing, because there's like all these young people, all the same age as me, and we're all going to university together. It's awesome. And then they said, Giles, good news. We all go to the Christian Union, I think it was like on a Thursday night, and then we all worship God. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And so I get there, and it's like 400 or 500 people in the room, and everybody's got their hands raised, and it felt like, I was like going, this is crazy. I didn't see any old people anywhere, no offense, you know. You know, young people say that, no offense, and you're highly offended. Like it doesn't counteract the offense. It just makes them feel better. So we get to the room, and there's just hundreds of young people. It's unbelievable. It's just so fun. And at the end of it, I'm like, I'm just on Clyde. Like, I shouldn't say Clyde 9, because that's not biblical, but you know what I'm saying? I'm like buzzing with the things of God. And then everybody goes, hey, like, what's happening next? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, do we go to an all-night prayer meeting or something? Like, I'm very naive at this point. You know what I'm trying to say? And they're like, no. Like, which club are we going to hit? Like, what drinks are we going to do tonight? Like, who are we going to sleep with tonight? I'm being real, church. This is the real talk. This is what it was. And in that moment, I just felt shattered. I was like, whoa, is this for real? Am I the odd one? Is this right? Church, can I just say it? Just because everybody does it doesn't make it right. Amen. Just because everybody does this, sometimes the whole lot can be corrupt. You have the men and women of God. There's potentially 2 million people right there. At the end of the story, you're going to find out that all 3,000 of these leaders got hit the chop by the end. They're gone. Like, just because the masses does it doesn't mean it's right. Let me just say it like that. Sometimes you got to stand against the crowd. Guys, that is not the way to live with God. It's not, I'm in church worshiping the Lord, and then as soon as I get out of church, I'm sleeping with everyone I can find. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. It's not go to church, have a great time, and then I get out of church and I live like the world. Come on. That is not the goal of our lives. It's to follow Jesus every single day, and the real work gets done, I say, to the four walls of the church, because you're the church. Come on, amen? Come on, church. This is the Lord. And so it says, and so there's nothing new, because you can relate to all of this stuff, and it says they rose up and play. When Christ is no longer the center, behavior always collapses. Remember this, church. When Christ is no longer the center, behavior always collapses. And suddenly, things that are wrong become right. Suddenly, things that are sinful get justified. Suddenly, things that you would have never done become the norm. Come on, church, you got to be real. You got to be real with me, and you got to be real with your heart. If we were just one-to-one, I think we'd get more conversation. Today's not the time, but let the Lord talk to your heart. Let the Lord talk to your heart. Because if he's not at the center, corruption always happens. If he's not the center of your life, your behavior always begins to change. And it might start off innocent, like I'm not going to church that often, but before you know it, it will be in sin and rooted in sin, and it will become normal, and you will fight your corner, and you will justify your corner, and you will tell anybody who wants to hear it, stop being so legalistic, stop being so religious, start to get some more freedom going on, that you will defend your corner to the end until if the goodness of God comes, you get convicted, and then you will sob your heart out and you will say, how did I fall so far? Church, it happens to any of us. It happens to any of us. Here's the heart of 11 years in. Let's keep Jesus at the center. Amen. Because if we keep Jesus at the center, we're going from one degree of glory to the next. If we keep Jesus at the center, it does not matter what happens to my earthly body. Everything's going down the right way. If we keep Jesus at the center, the best is yet to come. And we can live with no regrets. And we can live with no compromise. And we can live with no guilt. We can live under his grace. You see, when Christ is no longer the center, behavior collapses. Sexual standards collapse. Integrity collapses. Honesty collapses. Faithfulness collapses. We don't drift into holiness. We drift into play. That's the truth, church. We don't drift into holiness. We drift into play. And it's little by little, step by step. And my encouragement today is don't let it happen. Bring Jesus back to the center. So what do we do? Here's the final point. Number five, it must be confronted, not accommodated. And the idol I'm making and the idol I'm talking about is not yours. I just got to add that little bit in. We got to confront this idol. We got to take this idol out. We got to do something with it. And we're going to read what the guys do because we got to do something with this idol. Verse 20, and Moses, after he comes down the mountain, you got to know, God turns up to Moses when they're on the mountain and says, Moses, you got to get down there quick. Those people have went to the dogs. Is it okay to say that? The people have went to the dogs. Like they've forgotten your ways. They're not living your standards. They're not living your, you got to get down there and fix this thing. And God's raging. I mean, he's raging. And Moses is like, come on, we can do this, God, somehow, some way. And so verse 20, he took the calf, which they had made. They loved that calf. Come on, they made it with their own hands. It was handmade. You know, we go to a place and they say it's handmade. That means they love it. That means they charge more money to you. So they were like, we love this calf. We made it with our own hands. And he, look what he did with it. He burned it in the fire and then he grinded the powder. Wow. Moses is not messing around here, church. He's not messing around. You do not mess with idols. You get them in the fire as quick as you can and you grind them into powder. If you want to know what happens next, he takes the powder and he puts it in the water and he says, guys, drink this stuff up because you got to learn this is not the way that we live. It's okay. So they're all right. You know, a little bit of golden water, you'll be fine. You know, but this is what he does because he says, people, we got to understand this. We got to stop playing with this sin stuff because it's going to take us out. And before you had an excuse when you were in Egypt, but there's no excuses now because we're ready to go to the promised land. Come on, church. Before you came to Christ, there was an excuse for your sin. There's no excuse for your sin right now. Come on. There was an excuse for your double life, your triple life, your quadruple life before, but there's no excuse right now. Come on. God has done too much for me, and God has done too much for you. And so he took that idol, and he ground it into powder. Moses doesn't manage the calf. You know, sometimes we're like, well, I think I've got a little bit of an idol. I just have to figure out how to manage it. No, you got to get it to the fire and you're going to grind it into dust. You got to throw it over the edge. You know, come on, you don't mess around with sin. You don't try to manage it. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to solve it. You just delete, you know, delete, no coming back. You get rid of this thing. So we don't try to manage it. He doesn't try to put it in the side room. You know, sometimes people go, hey, well, you know, I don't really want to throw this thing out. So we'll put it in the next room over. We'll put it in the garage in case we ever need it again. Sometimes we do that with our old lives. Sometimes we do that in our current lives. We say, well, I know this thing's wrong, but God knows that I sort of need it. And if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to be stable for the day. What? What? He's all sufficient. He's all that I need. Stop lying to yourself. Come on. We don't manage this stuff. We don't put it in the side room and we don't make it easy for ourselves. We get rid of it. We destroy it. He doesn't preach a balanced sermon about how the calf has its place. Come on. Come on, church. We can't do this stuff. You got to get rid of the calf. He puts it in the fire and he grinds it into fine powder and says, let's get shot. Now, let me add a little warning because when it comes to, when we mention this word confront, some people are like, that's awesome. I get to attack so many people. Come on. But can I just say this? The idol was not out there. The idol was here. Come on. Your problem is not anybody else. It's an idol inside of you. Amen? Come on, church. The idol's here. Where was the idol found? In the heart of the man, in the heart of the woman. Was it the enemy give them the idol? No. They took their own gold, which was present, precious and glorious and worth something, and they built it themselves. You have built every single one of your idols if you've got them. It's not anybody else. It might get revealed in other people. They might get seen by other people, but it's you that built them with your own fair hand. Praise God. And it's time to take them out. Amen. Come on. It is time to take these things out, because if we don't, they will take us out. You see, Moses is not playing around. He says it's time to get rid of the idols. It's time to get rid. And then he does this wonderful thing, church. And this is what's so good for us today. Verse 26. It says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp. He stands in the gate of the camp. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. Come on, church. Amen. He says, whoever's on our side, whoever's on God's side, it's time to move now. Whoever's on God's side, it's time to move. I know you've had your fun. I know you liked that calf. I know he was shiny. I know he was golden. I know you could see him. I know you could touch him. But it's a stinking calf. Did you know that in the middle of the story, the people rejoiced around the calf and said, this calf delivered us. This God is the one who set us free. What an abomination before the Lord. Come on, church. Come on. We got to get indignant against this stuff. Otherwise, we become complacent. And before you know it, we're one of them. Oh, yeah, calf's not too bad. Calf's not too bad. No, it stinks from high heavens. And we got to throw it in the fire. We got to grind it into smithereens. Amen. Come on. Let's not mess around with this stuff that's in our lives. Let's not mess around with the issues that's in our heart. Let's get them out. The hatred, the unforgiveness, the little bit of bitterness. Like, oh, I don't like this person. I don't like that. Be careful, because that stuff's going to kill you. Be careful of the gifts. Remember we said our kids, our career, our reputation, our wives, our husband. Be careful. They are not it. Jesus is. Amen. They're there to help you with him. They're not there to take you away from him. Come on, we got to battle this stuff. We got to pray hard. We got to work hard. We got to go for God and use the grace that he's given us. So he asked the man and woman, who's on the Lord's side? And there's a fix here, guys. There's a simple fix. It's called repentance. You turn to God and he delivers you from all of that stuff. And for the man and woman of God back in this day, there was a simple fix. Let it go. You know what the problem was? They couldn't let it go. And this is the craziest part of the story. 3,000 men said, no, we're not on this side. We're not on this side. And that day, 3,000, they were down 3,000. Because the Lord says, we got to take them out. We got to take them out. They're corrupt. Church, be very careful. It can happen to anyone. Sin is crazy. The work of the enemy is constant. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. You know what our key verse and vibe is? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and life to the full. They're right beside each other. They're right beside each other. So as we get ready to finish in a few moments, I'm going to pray that the Lord is going to transform your heart. Here's my encouragement. If we keep Jesus central, and you might have seen it on the screen earlier, nothing is impossible. If you keep Jesus in the middle, if you keep Jesus at the center of your life, then nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Can I get an amen? Yeah. But if you let Jesus drift from the center of your life, nothing's sustainable. Nothing. 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 You can't hold it. You can't keep it. You can't make it. You can't figure it out. You're not strong enough. You're not powerful enough. The best thing to do with your life is to surrender. The best thing. And then if you want to be my disciples, if you want to be my followers, the Lord says like this. We've quoted it many times. We keep quoting it. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. That's it. Dead men and women. That's the way of the kingdom. And his life becomes your life. And suddenly it transforms everything. So my question is this. Has anything taken first place in your life? We're going to pray. Can we stand together? Come on, we're going to pray together. And let's do some serious business with God just for a few moments. Maybe it's a relationship that started to get in the way. And it's just starting to dawn on you. Oh my goodness, that thing that was a gift has started to become it. It started to take my time away from the Lord. It started to get me distracted. Maybe it's ambition. You know, one of the incredible things about the men and women of God is when you become a Christian, you suddenly realize you've got a purpose. But that ambition, that relentless ambition, can also rob you of the presence of God because it just becomes too much. Maybe it's an old wound. Come on, I just can't believe there's anybody in this room that has come through life unscathed. There's a battle somewhere that you have come through. And if you've come through a battle, maybe you won the battle, but the chances are you got a wound along the way. Because you see, when you're fighting loved ones, there are no winners. Not really. Because we're supposed to be in union together. We're supposed to be in relationship together. We're supposed to love each other. It's not about winning and losing. Maybe it's an old wound that's suddenly become an idol. You're like, really? Yeah, because anything that takes first place, anything that holds you back, maybe it's success. This is a killer one now. Maybe it's success. Maybe you've had wonderful success in life. Maybe you have this little Sam, every night touch turns to gold because it almost feels like it got in the way. And you've been successful and you've got some stuff now. You got something. I've seen it. I've worked in business long enough to know when you get success, it can rob you of all of your humility. When you get success, it can rob you of all of your reliance on God because I can buy what I need. Don't talk to me like that. You know what I'm saying? Success. Maybe it's fear. And fear, again, is one that all of us can be robbed with. Or maybe it's something good. Maybe it's something good. We're going to pray today, church. And I want to ask you, if there's something that you know that's in your life, an idol, something that's trying to take first place, maybe there's even a little hesitation, would you take it today and let's place it on the altar? Let's place it on the altar and let's let that thing burn. Let it go because it will be no good. In fact, it will take you out. And maybe you're unsure. Maybe you can't see anything. Well, we're just going to pray that the Lord reveal truth. And notice this. God does not come to hurt. He comes to heal. God does not come to counsel. He comes to set you free and to keep you free. And so we're going to pray today that the Lord is going to make you light because we're not meant to carry heavy things anyway. And that we're going to give him all of those burdens. And maybe it's just a burden, but it can become an idol. Or maybe it has become an idol and it's time to give it to him. Can we pray? Come on. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. The people wanted a God that they could lead, but Moses was just looking for a God that he could follow. In chapter 32, the people say, make us a God that we can sort out. Come on, let's do it. We'll DIY our own God. But by chapter 33, God says to Moses, it's time to go. And Moses says to God, if you don't go with us, we will not go. If your presence does not come before us, we will not go. And so, Lord, I'm praying for a people that will flip from chapter 32 to 33. I'm praying, Lord, for a people that will move from chapter 32 to chapter 33. Now, there's no harm in having 32 as long as we get to 33. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would change the chapter, that we would turn the page, that we would let go of anything that would ensnare us, that we would bring to the altar anything that's no good. Lord, that we would bring to the altar even the things that are good in our lives that could possibly get in the way. And if you're unsure, here's the best thing to do. Surrender. Surrender your whole life. If you're not sure, if you can't figure it out, if you're not sure what's going on in you, then surrender the whole thing. Surrender everything. So, Lord, I pray today for every heart, every life. And I pray, Lord, for a fresh surrender in us, to surrender all of us, every part, every desire, every thought, everything. We surrender afresh to you. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege today and we have the access today and we have the ability today to repent before a holy God who will receive us and accept us and transform us all over again. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love and mercy. I thank you for your tender touch. I thank you for your wonderful grace. I thank you for your precious love. And I pray today, Lord, that you would restore every person that needs to be restored, that you would redeem everything that's been lost. Lord, that you would heal all the brokenness that could be inside of us. And remember this, he always gives you more than you can expect. So along the way, he'll do everything else. He will do everything along the way. Lord, I thank you that you're with us and have been with us over this last few years. But I'm so excited where you're going to bring us to next, Lord. We are not leading, you are. I'm so excited for our personal lives. I'm so excited for our life as a church. I'm so excited for us as a nation. And I'm so excited for us as the men and women of God because he's bringing us from glory to glory and the best is yet to come. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the midst of us. And we say we bless you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.